Welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, we drink some super pills, and Nick runs the jewels as Brad heads out to the suburbs and checks out Penrose. All that and more on this week's episode of Chicago Beer Pass. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And if you've never listened before, on Chicago Beer Pass, we talk about the events and beer-related things we've done in Chicago in the last week, and as well as the events coming up that you might want to check out, that we're going to attend, and yeah, just give you the lowdown of drinking in Chicago.
That's exactly right, Brad.
Mm-hmm. And of course, every week we're drinking Chicago beer, and no exception here. We're drinking Super Pils from Five Rabbit.
Yeah, we're going to stick to the script. We're going to drink a Chicago beer.
Yep.
You know, that's what we do. Yeah, man. So this is Gringolandia is their series of beers from Five Rabbit Cerveceria. So this is the Super Pils. I believe there's three in the Gringolandia series.
This is the Fabuloso Porter.
The Fabuloso Porter. Super Pils. It's not a Pils, Brad. It's the Super Pils.
Right, which is basically an Imperial Pils.
Yeah, and then there's one more that's escaping me, man. But yeah, this is their take. So if you follow Five Rabbit at all and had any of their stuff, they take that interesting kind of ingredients approach towards all their beers, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, like we talk about Five Lizard, it's got instead of orange peel and coriander, it's got like passion fruit in it, you know, and you know that's a theme that they use. Or they made a beer called Paletas, their summer beer that's made after like those Mexican popsicle desserts, right?
Right. I think they only did like two last year. I think they wanted to do one like every week. I think
right.
So I hope they do that again this summer and we see more of those.
That's true. Because I had the guava one I thought was great.
Yeah, I've had that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is their approach to really trying to take on like more traditional styles, you know, instead of having, they got these interesting beers all year long. So they're like, hey, let's have like a series of beers where, you know, it's paying homage to like traditional styles like a Pils and a Porter.
Okay.
So
I was glad to see these in bottles. I know you talked about going to an event and both these were on. And so I was glad. I was super excited to see these.
Super excited to see the Super Pils. Yeah, and it's nice to see them have a change of pace, too. This is pretty straightforward, nice, easy drinking, especially for 7.2%.
It's too easy.
Yeah. I like this beer a lot. So this is, traditional Pils using Euro trash hops, whatever the hell that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So if you see the Super Pils or even the Fabuloso Porter or really anything from Five Rabbit, definitely pick it up. I think they're all usually pretty good summer drinking beers. And yeah, so as we sip on these and let the 7% catch up to us, we're going to dive into what we went to the last week. We had quite a few events and did we make it to any of them, Nick? Did you?
No, there was a ton of stuff going on, man, like Mash Tun Festival.
Right.
I missed that. And there were six or seven events last Saturday, especially on the burbs.
Yeah,
you know, with the beer rally and
at the ballpark.
Yeah, the one at the ballpark in Schaumburg. I missed all of those.
So, thanks for listening.
This show's over. Tune in next week. No,
no, we made it to stuff. We went to things.
Yeah, so I went to the Analog Migration. So this was an event between Fader, the magazine, the music magazine, and Goose Island. So what they're doing is they've got this series of events, three cities, San Francisco, New York, and Chicago. And Fader is picking out the artists to play. Mm-hmm. So it's a concert. And then Goose Island is bringing the beers to go with the concert.
And Fader's like the music magazine or website now, like music website.
Yeah. And the cool part about this event is that they had Logan Hardware was there selling records.
Okay.
And this was all, they were all Fader, they were Fader selected albums for sale.
Okay.
So it was basically just like a, you know, it's kind of like an analog tribute, if you will.
All right.
Right. So they had, when we first walked in, DJ Timbuk2, the heavy hitter, was spinning a lot of stuff from the 90s. And you can see him wiping off his albums. He's like, you know, and he's talking in between the songs. He's like, dude, I haven't spun these albums in like 10 years. You know, getting really deep into the crates, like some early 90s, you know, Roots, Gangstar.
Right. Well, I'm sure, I think most of the DJs now, they're not even digging through records. They have the one record and everything gets loaded on the computer. So you can kind of have that one record play anything you have now. And it kind of serves the same purpose, but it's a little faster and you can switch stuff up. And
exactly. Yeah, so this was a throwback, and so that was really cool. It was at the Lacuna Arts Center or the Lacuna Arts Lofts.
Oh, what was that event there?
Beer Hoptacular.
Beer Hoptacular. Yeah,
and that was my first time back there since then. Nice. So it's a it's a residential building, but at the base of the building there's this art gallery, and it holds about 800 people, and this is where the event was. So there were two acts on stage. I went to go see Run the Jewels, which is Killer Mike and LP, and Goose Island made a beer collaboration with those guys last summer for Pitchfork, because they were on the Pitchfork bill.
Such a great beer. Did they have that beer that night?
I wish, man. That was one of my favorite beers. It's called Run the Jewels, which is such a dope name for a beer. Yeah, so it was just straightforward. It was a Belgian single that they dry hopped the shit out of.
Yeah.
But it was a great beer, like a perfect summer beer. So they were the headlining act, and then there was a band from like California, Long Beach, California, like a 3-piece band, a band I had never heard of.
Okay.
So, you know, we had Timbuktu spinning, and then two live acts.
Awesome.
And then Goose is serving beers. You know, as soon as you walk in, you know, there's this glow in the dark tray, and someone's handing you like a 312, the green one and the yellow one. Okay. Yeah.
They probably want them called like Urban Wheat, yellow or Urban Pale, not yellow and green.
Not yellow and green. Bro, let me get a 312
green. Green ski.
So yeah, so it's cool. Those beers, I haven't had 312, the original one, the Urban Pale. No, the original one's the wheat.
Urban Wheat.
312. See, even we're getting confused. I haven't had the wheat in a long time.
Okay.
Long time.
Me either.
So I got right into the pale.
Okay.
I mean, it's a nice alternative to, you know, some of the mainstream macro stuff. Like I was at a, you know, sidebar. I was at House of Blues for midget wrestling like a couple nights ago.
Okay.
It was awesome. Cinco de Mayo midget wrestling. It was the best shit ever. No, but it's like, for example, there, all they had was like, you know, Miller Lite and cans and then Budweiser and tall boys.
Okay.
So if you see 312 green, next to those two, then 312 green is winning.
Okay.
Yeah. And sure. I think that's more what their target is.
Yeah.
For that beer.
Okay.
You know? Oh, but they did have the Endless IPA on draft, which is nice, which is, and that, come to find out, that recipe was, it was Four Cone last year. The name of the beer was Four Cone.
Oh, that's right. I remember Four Cone.
Yeah. The collaboration with the Pitchfork folks. Mm-hmm. And then both 312s in cans for this event.
Okay. Did they have Sophie in like a separate room, kind of hidden? They usually do that. Like the higher end beer is like off in this like secret room that you may not walk into.
Right. So the 312 is like everywhere, right? Yeah. You know, and on trays being passed around, easy, very accessible. But Sophie and Endless are in the corner. Yeah. And, you know, Goose like to do that presentation where, you know, it's a big, beautiful wooden bar, and then these beers are being poured from, you know, these barrel-covered tap handles. Like, there's a tap handle, and it looks like it's drilled directly into a barrel.
Right. You'll hear people at festivals, like, they're pouring straight from the barrel. So, yeah, I don't think they're pouring Endless IPA from the barrel, but... Okay.
Bro, it's never been in a barrel, bro. No, but it is a very cool presentation, though. Yeah. It looks great, especially at an event like this. So there were about 500 RSVPs for this. And this was on like a, you know, like in the middle of the week.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it was on Thursday. I didn't see about it until the day of. And I was like, oh, I already have plans. I can't make it.
Yeah. But it was great. I didn't know the other band. But I did. I went to go see Run the Jewels, really.
Yeah.
And they came out to We Are the Champions. So okay. Everybody there is like clapping, singing We Are the Champions as they come out. And then, yeah, they get right into their songs. I love their album. I kind of thought the volume was a little too loud for me.
All right, Grandpa.
I kind of felt like the old man at the rap concert. I'm like, man, I love that. This is a great album. I love the album.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'm like, dude, why is it so loud in here?
You got your headphones on. You're just listening to the album. You're like, this is good. I can watch them and listen to.
It was too loud for me, so I didn't stay too long after Run the Jewels started. But yeah, shout out to Timbuktu, man, because he did a great job. You know, he playing all those songs right in the beginning like that for like an hour.
Nice.
Overall, that was a great event, especially for like, for, you know, RSVP only, you know.
Right. It's kind of awesome they're doing those, I guess, basically free events. And you just go there, see a band, and drink beer for free. That's kind of great and kind of, I guess, smart of them to just be like, hey, try our new beer and come on out.
Yeah, it's like you're exploring, you know, an art space. This is like a full-blown art gallery. Mm-hmm. And then you get to come see a band you've probably never seen live before. So it's really more of it's like a lifestyle thing. Yeah. You know, Goose is saying, hey, if you like these things, then come try our beer while you're at this concert.
Yeah, because the last one was at Salvage One with Maps and Atlas. I think that was on 312.
Yeah.
And so maybe we'll see another one at another one of these. What, isn't there one up in like Lincoln Square over by Half Acre? There's another space similar to these two places. We may see another one of these.
I hope so. Those events are fun.
Yeah.
So I went to that. And then really that was the only thing I did last week. I made it over to Haymarket.
Okay.
They've got another collaboration with Stephanie Isert from Girl and the Goat.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. So if for anyone who doesn't know her, you know, Haymarket's in the West Loop, and then Stephanie owns Girl and the Goat, and then across the street is Little Goat the Diner.
Yeah.
So Girl and the Goat's one of the hardest places to get into in Chicago, apparently. I haven't been yet. Have you been?
Yeah, I've been. We think we made our reservation. It was like 3 months later. They're like, we have a Thursday. It's like, all right, that's fine. But I know Gary,
though.
Can you get me in sooner?
Yeah, so that whole Randolph and Halstead intersection, Oshawal and, you know, Granger Hall, all that, that's one of my favorite intersections in the whole city.
Right.
So they've done 6 beers together now, Girl and the Goat.
Wow.
And Haymarket. They call them Girl and the Goatee. The logo for these beers is awesome. I saw Pete with the shirt on once. So you know how Little Goat, that logo for Little Goat, it's like this really small goat, little body, and this huge head.
Uh-huh.
And so on Girl and the Goatee, it's the same logo, except the goat has this huge goatee because Pete Crowley likes to rock his goatee like that. And then you know on cartoons when you're really drunk, there's X's over your eyes when you're drunk in cartoons. Uh-huh. So the goat it's a drunk goat with X's over his eyes.
Nice.
And this huge goatee. And it's funny. It's funny as hell.
Awesome. So what's the 6th version of it this time?
So it's a Belgian farmhouse style ale. And what they did was they spiced it with the rub from Stephanie's meats over at Little Goat. So she's got a particular rub she uses on meats over there. So they took those same spices and threw them in the Belgian farmhouse ale.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we're talking about, let me read this list to you, man. It's Thai chilies, cumin, mustard seed, cardamom, star anise, cloves, and cinnamon.
Huh. Okay, that sounds kind of nuts.
It's wacky, dude. It's wacky.
Do you pick any of that up when you're drinking it?
Yeah, when you get all those ingredients together in a saison, right? It kind of comes off like a warm mulled cider.
Okay.
Right. It's got a really great aroma, and then when you drink it, it's kind of like it's kind of savory and refreshing all at once. There's a lot going on. You know, I would encourage you to try it. Haymarket is one of those spots where you can get, you know, 4 different sizes of beer, you know, the 6-ounce sample all the way up to 20 ounces if you want.
Right, yeah.
But this is it's a very interesting beer. They've done beers like this in the past, you know, some of them,
yeah,
you know, were okay, but some of them were great. This one is
interesting.
This one is very interesting.
Worth a try.
Yeah, I think it's interesting enough for you to try it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
I have to make my way over there for lunch and a little sample.
Yeah, get the 6-ounce sample of it. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. So. Not a bad week for you. I made it all the way out to the suburbs.
Went to Penrose. Road tripping, man. You went out to Geneva?
Yep. Made it all the way. Drove there. Didn't take the train. You can take the train. There was a lot of people there who did take the train. We saw them like walking in and walking back to the train.
Yeah.
But we went out there to shoot a Hopcast. So it was Maeve, Ken, and myself and Suzanne, so we were all out there checking out their space. They have like a tap room. It's really nice in there. And then they're basically their warehouse. Like you walk through the back door, if you do a tour or something, it's huge. It just keeps going. You first greet it, like most breweries start, you can kind of see the brewer, like you can see the brewer working and everything right there behind the glass, right. And like the mash and everything's happening there. No, they do barrels right there, so you can kind of see the beer's aging there, almost ready to be served for you. And then like they have the next room is with all the bright tanks, and then the room after that is the brew house. Yeah.
Okay. And then they've got the copper back there.
Right. I forget where he said they got that equipment from. Blanking on that now, but. Yeah, they got that at a great price, and so.
But yeah, it looks great because I never see copper brew houses locally.
Yeah.
So it's just really beautiful to look at, mm-hmm. You know, these monster tank, and it's like all copper, and you're like, man, I just fell into, you know, what am I in Belgium? This is wonderful, you know.
But it was huge. Tom is just running that brew house by himself right now, so I know he's getting someone soon. But yeah. I can't believe one person's running that whole thing back there. So.
Because they literally have like a 40-barrel operation or something like that.
I think it's 30 barrels, 40-barrel tanks they have. So he's brewing like around the clock. And then he has all these like 1-barrel and 3-barrel tanks that they're doing one-off beers just for the tap room. Where he'll try something and be like, oh, let's dry hop it with this. So let's add in this ingredient. And he can get instant feedback from people at the tap room and be like, hey, is this good? Is it worth sending out of the brew house, like to other people? So
yeah,
that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. I like those guys a lot. And I know a lot of people who know TK and know Hobbs were very excited to hear that they were getting off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cheers to those guys, man. Yeah. Penrose. If you haven't been, you should probably go.
Yeah. And then the Hopcast episode should be out soon. So definitely check that out. Sit down with them and talk about what they got going on. Gonna be bottling soon, so you can look for that and talk about some of the Chicago Craft Beer Week stuff they're doing too.
Yeah, so, right on.
Yeah, excited for what those guys are doing, and all the beers were great. They had the P2 on, the Proto, they had Barrel Age Proto, which was really nice. So yeah, definitely make your way out there if you can and get a growler and just check it out. It's nice. So, should we get on to this week then?
We shall.
What's happening? I feel like it's quiet because a storm is brewing.
This is the calm before the storm. God help us all, man. Chicago Craft Beer Week starts like in a week and a half.
Yeah.
It starts pretty soon.
Right. We could almost say it starts next Tuesday with an event we'll get to in a minute, but we'll just start with this week.
We'll start with this week. So, we've got... tomorrow, which is
Wednesday the 7th.
Yeah, Wednesday the 7th. Dry Hop up in Lincoln Park. They're doing a collaboration with Lincoln Park Zoo. Okay. So they've got a saison that they are making in collaboration with the zoo for the Red Panda Wish Fund.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the saison is called I'm Not a Raccoon Saison. It's actually inspired by ingredients from the red panda's diet.
Okay. Do red pandas look like a raccoon?
I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Okay. All right.
This is tomorrow at 6:00.
This is some good research.
Right? Fine, in-depth research here on the Chicago Beer Pass. Yeah. I dug a little bit. Yeah, I come in with nothing. Just like, I'm like, oh, really? The diet of the panda. I'm like, well, tell me more. What's this panda eating, man?
What kind of beer is this panda drinking?
So this is so also for this event, you get they're doing a raffle for tickets to VIP for the auxiliary board at the zoo. They have an event called Zoology, which is a fundraiser.
Oh, cool.
So you can get into a raffle to win VIP tickets to that fundraiser, and you get to come out and try the beer. $1 off every pint ordered will go to the Red Panda Wish Fund.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. If when you order it, is donation goes. So that's always nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So Dry Hop, man, doing good things over in Lincoln Park, man. They're giving money to the zoo.
Drink for a cause.
Yeah. It's not just drinking, man.
Does that qualify?
It's for the animals.
Does that qualify as like a tax donation then? If you order that beer, can you... What's the legal
drink,
on that?
Drink for a cause and and a tax write-off. And no, we're not saying that. We don't know. We don't even know what the panda's eating, so we don't know.
Awesome. So that's Wednesday the 7th. And then Thursday the 8th at Emporium. is Penn Bros versus Iverson Bros.
So the
we know even less about this than the Panda event.
Giving you everything you need to know here on this show, okay? Yeah, so we know the Iverson brothers.
Uh-huh.
And we know Penrose.
Right. So it sounds like they're battling at Emporium because Nick Iverson, he works
at Lagunitas.
And he lives right over by myself, over by Emporium.
Okay.
And he's there sometimes when I'm there, so end up running into each other. So I feel like they're just, it's a night of the arcade for these guys that decide to make an event out of it somehow.
So and then his brother's going to be there too. His brother's at Allagash?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Iverson brothers work at Allagash and Lagunitas, and they're versus Penrose, who we just talked about.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm guessing there's going to be their beers there too, or?
Right. This event didn't say anything about their beer, but you would assume that Penrose beer is going to be on Allagash and Lagunitas. I would expect Allagash and Lagunitas is probably on most of the time there. So
so much confusion. Wow. So much confusion on this episode, man.
I feel like this would be a fun thing to go just to see what's going to happen. I feel like it's going to be silly.
Yeah. And they might bring some surprises, too.
Maybe
that's why they're not really giving us a whole lot of details.
Right. And maybe if you beat them, I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe if you beat them at a game, you might win something. I don't know. I'm not saying that could happen. I don't know. So check out Emporium tomorrow night. I think that kicks off at 5:00 as soon as doors open.
Right on.
And then this weekend.
This weekend, we got two events anchoring this weekend. So this weekend, Saturday, May the 10th, the first event's going to be at Soldier Field, man.
Oh, this is that beer fest, right?
Yeah, so this is the American Beer Classic. So this is year number two of the American Beer Classic, put on by Red Dog Events. And they're known for doing, not necessarily beer events, last year was their first beer event. Okay. But, I mean, they're known for doing other types of events around town, mm-hmm. you know. And so this is a big, badass beer event on the lake. So this is 100
on Soldier Field.
500 beers from 100 different breweries. So tickets to this are $65. Mm-hmm. The VIP is $95.
Whoa.
They are not fucking around.
I guess it's kind of awesome you're drinking on Soldier Field. I feel like the pictures are just, they're worth at least $5.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And yeah, I'm a huge Bears fan. So Soldier Field used to be as Illinois landmark, you know, because of the colonnades and how it looked like an old Roman structure.
Yeah.
And then, but when they did the reconfiguration, maybe like 10 years ago now,
got kicked off the landmark.
They got kicked off the list because it looks like a spaceship crashed into
a little bit. Yeah.
Right. So the new design doesn't really match the old design, but it's a great place to see a game. And then one thing I learned about it is that it's the smallest stadium in the NFL. But then also, you know how most stadiums are just a bowl of seats, right?
Yeah.
So, but when you're at Soldier Field, the bowl goes about 3/4 of the way, then it stops, and then the seats dip down so you can see the skyline.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and it was designed after like an Italian opera house, sound wise. They tried to mimic that type of structure so that the sound would stay in.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised they don't do more concerts there then. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Because I know Spring Awakening's there, and I saw U2 there twice.
Okay.
That's the only show I've seen at Soldier Field, though.
I have to say, I went to the old one as a kid. I've never been.
Yeah.
Since they remodeled, and yeah.
It's actually a cool place, man, Soldier Field. And then, you know, what's better than that? So there is a Soldier Field tour available for this thing that you can buy separately. So you can go see like the locker rooms and.
Does that happen during the beer event or is it like a before?
No, I think this is like during the beer event. If you just want to slip away and go a tour of Wrigley Field or Soldier Field for 20 minutes.
I'd be there to drink the beer.
I'd be there for drink the beer.
Hmm.
But you know.
I guess you get to check it out.
So look at this. These are 2-ounce pours, but the general admission is 48 pours, 2-ounce pours. If you go VIP for $95, you get 60.
Wow, okay.
2-ounce pours. That's pretty intense. The usual suspects on this, you know, this kind of event is like, you know, I would say maybe the top 50 brands in craft beer from all across the country. Okay. You know, your Goose and your
Lagunitas and Allagash.
Exactly. And... you know, the Founders. You know, all of those kind of guys. And then you know, a lot of ciders are there. But I did find maybe a list of five breweries that A, I've never even heard of.
Okay.
Or B, I've only had once or twice. So, and these are all local breweries that are going to be there amongst like these other top 50 breweries in the country. So
lay the list down.
All right. So here's, Atwater is up in Detroit.
Right. I've had something when I've gone up to a barbecue spot up there, Slows. So okay. I've had something from Atwater.
All right. 350, which is in Tinley in the South Burbs.
Never heard of them.
There's a Cahoots Brewing, which they're describing themselves as a locally based like gypsy brewer. So they don't have their own facility, so they show up and buy all the ingredients, and then they brew with other people.
How are you local? Where are you local?
Explain your locality to us, please, Cahoots. Okay. Yeah, that's what they say, man. So 1090, I think we've had them before. Because they were at the Emporium thing last week, right? The beer 2-up.
They were. I talked to one of the brewers there. I didn't have their beer, but yeah.
Yeah, and Wild Blossom, the meadery down on the south side, like in Beverly.
Oh, that's right. I've heard a couple things about them.
Yeah, and then Vice District, which is a brand new brewery I'm kind of excited about trying. Vice District is basically the South Loop.
Okay.
You know, it's named after, they called it Vice District a long time ago. The cops did, because that's where, like, you know, all the hookers and gambling was going on. You know? Okay. So they're naming it Vice District after that strip that it sits on.
Cool. Are they open
yet? No, that I know of. Yeah.
They must be doing, maybe these are pilot or contract brews or something.
Yeah. So Smiley Brothers up in Evanston, which is a brewery I had at the Beer, Bacon, and Sports Celebration at Soldier Field, but at a Union Station.
Okay.
I had them there.
Man, another brewery in Evanston? Temperance. Well, they better watch out, right?
Dude, there's like three breweries in Evanston all of a sudden. There's a place called Pollyanna down in Westmont as well.
Oh, cool.
I'm sorry, Lamont. I got that wrong. Lamont, which is, I think, also South Burbs out there by Tinley Park, out there by the 350 Brewing.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so these are all, except for the Atwater up in Detroit, these are all local breweries that, you know, I haven't had a lot of them, and some of them I haven't even heard of, like Cahoots and Pollyanna, so... I mean, that'd be a good reason to go. Like, if you go to festivals all the time and you're oh, well, you know, because a lot of times at really big festivals, they're going to bring stuff that you can, you know, basically buy in a store, mm-hmm. right? But this is this little wrinkle right here where you've got five or six breweries locally that, you know, you won't find in a store.
Yeah, I'd like to, anytime I'm at one of those festivals, I like to either, one, try the breweries that I've never heard of or had.
Right.
Or I try the, like, big beer stuff, like new things they're trying, because I don't really want to buy them. And then, like, if I'm walking past Lagunitas or something, I'd be like, well, just give me an IPA, because I know this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And I can, like, either go on to this next thing that may disappoint me, but at least I got a Lagunitas IPA.
Right.
That's my, like, plan at most festivals.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. You definitely want to have, if you're planning these things, you want to have stuff that people know and love. And then and you want to invite people out because, you know, you want people to try new stuff.
Right.
You know, that's the beauty of the craft beer revolution. Mm-hmm. We're all, nobody's married to a particular brand nowadays. Not like our grandparents where we're like, yo, I drink Schlitz or whatever you drink, you know.
And don't be.
Oh, shit.
Well, we're getting phone call.
Sorry, guys.
And don't be afraid. Like, I know you got tickets. Don't be afraid to just try something else that you might pour out. It's a ticket. I bet you can find somebody else that isn't going to use all their tickets, or they may not even take your ticket. So don't be afraid to, like, just try something that you may not like.
Yeah, you got 48 pours. Yeah. So we go out and try these beers. Right.
Experiment. You
know? Experiment. Experimentally try these beers. Right on. Yeah, so that's this Saturday, Soldier Field, American Beer Classic.
Awesome. And there's another event over the weekend?
Yeah, so Saturday also, on May the 10th at noon, Fountainhead and Half Acre are hooking up for a rooftop barbecue.
Oh, nice. The rooftop's open there. That's good. Summer, it might be here finally.
We're looking at 70 tomorrow. I'm excited about that.
All right.
The rooftop at this place, Fountainhead, is really nice.
Okay, I've seen pictures, heard people that went there. I haven't gone to the rooftop yet.
Yeah, I'd say half of it's probably covered, but then they bring out like those fire lamps, and then they have like an actual fireplace there.
Oh, so when it gets cold at night or something.
Okay. Yeah, like it's still an awesome place to hang out. Bears games are showing up there in the winter because, oh, nice. You know, it's really laid out up there. The way they got it configured is great. So the Half Acre Guys, which is walking distance, maybe less than a half a mile from Fountainhead, mm-hmm. they're bringing five or six of their beers. Cletus is throwing down on some barbecue. Just to give you a quick sample, they're doing Half Acre is bringing the gin barrel aged pony pills.
Oh,
the Bombay, which is their rye stout. Mm-hmm. Quaker Bridge, which is a barley wine, which I never see anymore. I saw it a few years ago, but
yeah, I don't remember. I haven't seen that in a while.
It's been a while.
I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Yeah, it was just like
barley wine's a tough style that I'm not always wanting to drink.
But. Yeah. And then a Galactic Double Daisy Cutter.
Okay. Right, because it came...
now we're talking.
It came back last week, I think, got released again.
Yeah, so. Last Friday. And Akari Shogun, which is their seasonal summer wheat ale.
Nice.
Yeah, so Cletus has got four different barbecue sandwiches you can buy. One's a barbecue goat. There's St. Louis barbecue. There's a Georgia mustard barbecue pork. He's got like four or five options, and then they give you... what they think suggested pairings would be for each sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is all on the rooftop at Fountainhead, so some fun stuff. I haven't had Galactic Double Daisy this year. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I might have to either make my way up there or make it to the brewery to try some.
Yeah. And cheers to those guys, man, because they just signed a deal to start their second location. This is Half Acre.
Yeah.
Maybe a mile or so from their existing location.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, so... more Half Acre beers.
Yeah, I know they had to pull out of the suburbs at one point because they just couldn't keep up with the Chicago market.
Right, yeah. My uncle, I go out there, visit him. He can never have Half Acre stuff, so we bring him some cans and stuff like that when we go out there sometimes.
Yeah, I think, Daisy Cutter, man. I think that is like...
Everybody should have access to that,
it's
right? That
the quintessential Chicago pale ale. That's a great beer. Mm-hmm. Daisy Cutter's legit.
Nice. Not a bad weekend. And then next week, Craft Beer Week starts. Chicago Craft Beer Week starts on Thursday. But kicking off Craft Beer Week, this happened last year too. It was a Goose Island event. At the Claiborne Pub, they celebrated their 25th anniversary. They released that Flanders Red. Yeah. They had all these like rare beers that they brought back. And it kind of was like a preview to Craft Beer Week almost. Like,
no, it's true. Yeah, because they were founded in May, you know, back in 26 years ago. And you know, the Claiborne, there's Claiborne and Wrigley, those are the brew pubs, and then the space where you get all the bottles and cans is not too far from where we're recording here and on Fulton, you know, basically near Ashland and Lake. So, but the original pub is Claiborne, and that's where it all started. And yeah, they threw a really good event last year. Everyone was dressed in all black, everyone that worked there.
Okay.
And I saw at least 80 beers, just all, you know, all of their beers.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah.
But they're doing it again this year for the 26th anniversary. So this will be Tuesday the 13th.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the night we record, so we're going to have to record on Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
we're going to.
The show's going to be late next week. Sorry about that. But... we get to see the new space.
Yeah. So they were closed for maybe 2 months. And the back half of the space where the Siebel Room was and where the beer stube was, they reconfigured those spaces to add another bar and just give it an updated look.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then this is a space, if you've ever been there, this is the space where the old Siebel classes used to be held.
Right.
You know, so.
And from the pictures I saw on the Chicago Beer Geeks Facebook page, it looks nice.
It's great, man. Steel bar. So there's a second bar, first of all. Yeah. When you walked into Claiborne, there was the one big wooden bar, and now there's a bar that matches that bar in the rear where the stube used to be. Okay. So now there's two bars instead of one, and then it's got a really nice facelift of just like this beautiful wide open space with wood floors, just like this wood and steel open loftish space. It looks great.
That should be nice, because before when you walked in there, it just looked dark and like almost scary. Like, I don't want to go over there. If the bar is full, I'm probably going to leave because I don't know what's happening over there.
Yeah, it's a complete 360. Complete 360. I like it. Even I was there on Saturday night, you know, just having a burger, and even even the presentation is different now. Like even the plates and the settings and you know everything's different. You know the glassware, like it's a nice modern update.
Okay.
They won't get, if they're on the Illinois Historic Register for national places, they won't get kicked off like Soldier Field did. They did a nice job of integrating the old and the new.
Okay. You know. Cool. Yeah. But so I'm excited for this event. I'm not sure if they're gonna bring back any of these old beers again. They might. There might be a couple of them, but
I saw something that said they are going to raffle off some King Henry and some Bourbon County Rare
right
that night
for paying guests. So if you're on any special list, you can't get that.
Yeah, if you know somebody and you're getting in, yeah, not for you.
Right. So I don't know if tickets are still available, or they might be. So you can check that out. Check the Goose Island site or wherever it's posted at. You can kind of we'll include a link to kind of get tickets or the event page.
That's gonna be a fun night. The you know, and we talked about it before, some of the best parties of the week are like those Monday through Wednesday parties.
Yeah,
are the jam, man. There's some fun stuff going on, so this is going to be one of those. And Nut Tulu is going to be there. Ogden, which is a collaboration between Goose Clyborn and Goose Fulton.
Oh, neat.
That'll be there. And some other fun stuff too.
Awesome. I'm excited. I haven't been to the Clybourn Pub in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And they moved Stoutfest to Wrigley so that they could make these renovations. So
awesome.
It's a grand opening party for the new look Goose Island Clybourn, the oldest brew pub in the city.
Whew. Wow. Yeah. Well, and so then Chicago Craft Beer Week starts, and you should probably get on the website. Chicago, is it Shy
Beer? Yeah, it's Shy Beer Week.
Shy Beer Week.
Well, I know that's definitely the Twitter handle.
Okay.
It might be spelled out ChicagoBeerWeek.com.
Right, so search Chicago Craft Beer Week, come up with the site. The schedule is continually getting updated. I know Penrose just added like 10 events. The events just keep getting added. Thursday will be Beer Under Glass, and that kind of is the opening ceremony. And it's going to be a crazy 11 days. It's not even a week. It's 11 days.
I love how the Knights of the Round Table decided, you know, this is Chicago. Our week's going to be 11 days.
Right. And so we both have profiles up there with events we're going to. I don't even know when and where we're going to be able to record because we're going to be going to all this stuff. So definitely get on that website and make your profile page, and you can kind of like curate a calendar of what you need to go to or what you want to go to.
Absolutely, man. Hey, shout out to the Beerinator. He did a great job on the website.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got these profiles this year, and you can also look at events and decide which one you want to go by, which ones are most popular. So, you know, if you've got an event that everyone's going to, you can see that. Or if you want to go to the event where there's not a lot of people going, you know, you can go to that.
Right.
So.
And I think you can install the app, and they have like a button on there, like, I'm thirsty. And it'll show you a $4 beer special in your area. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, man. Yeah, over 300 events this year. And, you know, citywide celebration of Chicago, man. We've always been a drinking town, and then we're starting to be known as a brewing town again,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. And this is just a celebration of that. So.
Yeah, and there's lots of events in the suburbs, too, so it's not just Chicago.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that'll do it for this episode. I felt like we didn't have a lot, but we are way over time here. So, yeah, let's wrap this up. Nick, if people want to get a hold of you or find out where you're drinking, how can they get in touch?
I'm on Twitter, @Nicosio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's @BRad. You can follow Chicago Beer Pass on Twitter, @ChicagoBeerPass. And then our website, ChicagoBeerPass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes. So subscribe. Leave us a review. We love reading those and seeing those. And then we got a Facebook page, /ChicagoBeerPass. And we'll post other events as we come across them because stuff just pops up and we see and we want to let you guys know about them. Thanks for listening.
Right on. Cheers.